Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss romances and relationships in our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. So what do you think about that?
Sure. The most charitable thing that I could think to say is that we women are just so mature and good that it takes men years to reach our level of perfection.
Yeah.
Before they're worthy of us. That's the most I could say. But no, I'm kidding about that. Really, I don't mind an occasional age gap, but it's when it is all the time.
I know.
I think it sends us a really bad message. You know, that the message is you're most desirable when you're just over the cusp of adulthood. I agree that a degree of the innocence, youth, or inexperience plays its role in all of the main romances in the three books that we have mentioned are nice books. And not always in complimentary ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes the male is looking to the younger female as kind of a revitalization. Sometimes he views her as childish, someone who needs his manly protection.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he gets a little luxury because I am wiser. From a modern standpoint, all of these reasons are a little cringy.
Yeah, they really are. That's a good phrase. A little cringy. Some are more cringy than others, but yeah, they're all a little bit cringy. And yet, you know, the modern standpoint, we still see this in so much of modern, you know, recently made television, film, literature, everything. I mean, it's still, it's cringy, but it's not cringy enough for people to stop doing it.
Sure.
And depicting it in their entertainment stuff. So we got a long way to go.
Yeah. Moving on to the issue of lies. You see the relationship between Jane and Rochester as built on lies. I see it differently. I agree. Yes, absolutely. Rochester lies. We are in agreement about that. But in other ways, they are more truthful with each other than they are with anybody else. There's a lot of emphasis put on being able to see the other one's true self. Jane blurts on very early on that she doesn't find Rochester handsome. It's one of those delightful, funny lines in the book. She just blurts it out. And he laughs because he appreciates a blunt truth. He's like, I'm used to people, especially women, flattering me because they're after my money. And no, she just blurted out that no, she doesn't think so. And what I see, you know, Rochester's also open with this relationship that he had with Celine. And I see him as kind of testing the way that a lot of us do in relationships. We have kind of our public face, and as we get to be really close with, you know, either love interests or good friends, the, hey, can I trust you with this kind of unflattering, ugly part of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were okay with that. You accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane is an excellent listener. Okay, can you take that much of the real side of me?
Right.
And so I think that part is understandable and relatable.
Yeah.
I do absolutely agree that Rochester was wrong to hide his marriage to Bertha from her, and I think that
we do have to remember he was hiding that marriage from everybody.
Right.
I mean, this was a long-term secret, long time, long, you know, I mean, the biggest lie for between him and Jane on that is that he intended to marry Jane, you know, which would not have been a legal marriage, and he did not intend to tell her that. That's that's really bad. So,
absolutely. And I think that Jane Bronte and eventually Rochester himself all agree he was wrong to disguise this.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this because the immediate consequence is he loses Jane. Within a day, he loses Jane. I don't think that Bronte is showing that a relationship built on lies is romantic. She's showing that it has consequences that will eventually destroy a relationship.
Yeah, Jane has her one dark night of the soul when she, you know, and then she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but in that night, we see her wrestle with that, you know, she contemplates staying with him.
She does.
And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, I mean, that's a woman who's been put in a situation. I find that part of their story to be the almost the epitome of the proof that he's an abuser, because he has put her in a position where she is tempted to forsake everything that means something to her in order to be with him. And that's, it's very hard to describe, but unless you've had that happen to you, it's very hard to describe that slippery slope of how a man can make you, can lead you to a place and manipulate you and emotionally abuse you to a place where that's even possible. Because mm-hmm. up to that night, there is nothing in Jane's character that would make you think she would ever be willing to stay in a sexual relationship with a man she's not married to. And yet that night is exactly what she's contemplating doing. And she decides against it, thank God, sure. and she leaves, you know. Mm-hmm. But she has been led down the path to a place that is so out of character for her that it, to me, that's like real proof that it's a very abusive relationship up to that point, you know, that he has really stripped her of a lot of her normal thinking kind of a thing. But go ahead.
Sure. And I want to validate your perspective of this, absolutely. Let me tell you how I view Rochester. And it's actually kind of, in a way, similar to how you see Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind. I do not see him as a model of behavior. He's not meant to be somebody that we as readers are supposed to want to emulate.
No, not at all.
Right.
Neither is Scarlett. You're right. She's mean. Right. You know? Yeah.
And I see both characters as they're dynamic. They are faulty characters, and they both have really interesting arcs of growth. And I confess, as you know, in reading Gone with the Wind, Scarlett annoyed me to death because of her flaws. But by the end of the book, I did view her more charitably because of, A, seeing where she came from, how did she develop those really bad mindsets, and then how did she grow to try to improve herself and to break free of those mindsets and behaviors that they learned when young, and to break free of that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the thing that you mentioned earlier in an earlier discussion, that if I'm going to crack, give Rochester a break for some bad behavior, I have to give Scarlett a little bit of a break. For
yeah,
her
well, we got to remember, first of all, also, these are fictional characters, so, right. you know. But, I, you know, the wonderful thing about them is that they're so alive for us, uh-huh. you know, and they're so real for us. And I think part of that is because, you know, it's possible that in characters like these elemental characters that we love so much, we can always find elements of them in people in our real lives that we love and care about or hate and don't ever want to see again or whatever, you know. And so that's why these characters are so real for us. And I feel like your comparison between Scarlett and Rochester is valid. I think they have vast differences in their personalities and why they are the way they are and sure. how they play out in their respective novels, and again, I emphasize that they're novels, you know, but fictional novels. Some people don't seem to know that novel means fiction, but it in my world, it means fiction. But I do think that they have that similar characteristic of not being very likable and having some really bad character flaws and growing through them or being forced to go through them against their will, almost. They both have that in their stories, and I think that's really interesting. Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.